Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with actor Fred Savage, who also takes a few more questions backstage at Studio AG exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
President Trump made major changes to his communication staff on Friday, but of course, the problem with this president is not how he's communicating, it's what he's communicating. From his attacks on the Russia investigation to his secret health care bill. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. After months of will he or will he speculation, Sean Spicer has finally stepped down as press secretary. I'm guessing so we can spend more time with the Bushes outside the White House. And I just want to say, for all the criticism Spicer got, at the very least, he clearly had a close, intimate relationship with President Trump.
I have not asked the president since the last time we spoke about this. I have not asked the president. I haven't asked him. I have not talked to him about the specific qualities he's looking forward to seeing. I don't know if he's seen the legislation or not. But again, I haven't spoken to him on it. Honestly, I haven't asked him. I honestly haven't asked him that specific question. I have not had an opportunity to have that discussion. Literally have not had that kind of conversation. I have not discussed that with the president.
There's a good chance when Spicer went into the Oval Office to resign, Trump didn't have any idea who he was. Mr. President, I'm resigning.
Oh, that's too bad. You were my favorite groundskeeper.
Now, Spicer obviously got off to a rough start, from his oversized suits to his lies about undersized inauguration crowds. It never really recovered. But according to a new report on Spicer's departure, his problems also included food storage. As the Wall Street Journal explained, less than a month into his new job, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer needed to keep his food and drink cold. He wanted a mini fridge. He dispatched a top aide to a nearby executive office building where junior research employees are crammed into a room. Mr. Spicer wants your icebox, the aide said. They refused to give it up. So Mr. Spicer waited until sundown after his young staffers had left to take matters into his own hand. He was spotted by a fellow White House official lugging the icebox down the White House driveway after 8 p.m. Man, working for Trump is like doing crack cocaine. At first, it must be an amazing high, but eventually your life falls apart and you start stealing appliances. So who would fill the void left by Spicer's absence, not to mention his presence? Enter the Mooch!
We won the presidency because of Donald J. Trump. He is an unbelievable politician.
That's right. Trump's new communication director is Wall Street financier Anthony Scaramucci. Now we're talking. I mean, look at this guy. He's a human pinky ring. He is the human embodiment of a double-parked BMW. He looks like the guy who leaves a doo-wop group over creative differences. He looks like the only magician you could get on short notice. I could go on and on. You know what, let's. He definitely calls waitresses sweetheart. His yearbook quote was, "Don't worry about it." So what does the mooch have that Spicy doesn't, besides the job? Well, so far we know he's very good at one thing, lavishing praise on Donald Trump, as Scaramucci did at his first White House press conference on Friday, even complimenting the president's alleged prowess at sports.
I think he's got some of the best political instincts in the world and perhaps in history. I went to these rallies and I saw the love that the people had for the president. I think they really, really love the president. The president is really well loved. I love the president. I love the president. I love the president. The president has really good karma. The president's a winner. I've seen this guy throw a dead spiral through a tire. I've seen him at Madison Square Garden with a top coat on. He's standing in the key, and he's hitting foul shots and swishing them, okay? He sinks 3-foot putts.
I'm sorry, but I'm not buying that this guy is a great athlete. He looks like John McEnroe. He's his own doubles partner. Now, there's no doubt Scaramucci is an experienced schmoozer with a much slicker style than Spicer. In fact, at the end of his marathon press conference, where he talked about the president's karma and the love he has for the American people, Scaramucci bid goodbye to the press corps with an air kiss. So, in summary, the mooch gave us a smooch after Spicy screwed the pooch. But there is one thing that Scaramucci has in common with Spicer and the rest of the White House staff. Like almost every other Republican who has gone to work for Trump, Scaramucci went through the ritual of abandoning much of what he believed before taking a job with Trump. He spent the weekend deleting old tweets that contradicted Trump's positions on issues. And on Sunday, when he was asked about Trump's comments attacking the Russia investigation, Scaramucci insisted he would support whatever the president says. Although his choice of words may have accidentally been more revealing than he realized.
I want the president to be the president, and my point is if he wants to talk about things like that, I'm not going to want to stop him or even be able to stop him. I want to be there to help aid and abet his agenda.
In fact, you could even say I'm here to be the president's accomplice. I just want to be an accessory to his agenda both before and after the fact. We are breaking and entering a new era. And if making America great again is a crime, then the president is guilty as charged. So Scaramucci says he's now fully on board the Trump train, and he sought to make that clear by backing up the president on one of his most controversial claims, that it might not have been Russia who interfered in the 2016 election. Now remember, every U.S. intelligence agency agrees that it was Russia. But as evidence to support Trump's assertion, Scaramucci said he had heard from an anonymous source that if it was Russia, they would never have been detected. But there was a fun reveal at the end when Scaramucci was asked who that anonymous source was.
Somebody said to me yesterday, I won't tell you who, that if the Russians actually hacked this situation and spilled out those emails, you would have never seen it. You would have never had any evidence of them, meaning that they're super confident in their deception skills and hacking.
I don't know who this anonymous person is that said that if the Russians had actually done it, we wouldn't have been able to detect it. But it is
How about it was the president?
How about it was the president, Jake? You like that? The president told me that. Then he nailed a 3-foot putt. Hey, sweetheart, can we get some more bread over here? So Scaramucci will now be in charge of explaining Trump's erratic tweets. Like today, when Trump once again attacked his own Attorney General Jeff Sessions, calling him beleaguered in a tweet. Trump was asked about that comment today during a photo op with White House interns, and it gave him a chance to mug for the cameras.
Mr. President, should Jeff Sessions resign?
Look at Trump finally living out his dream of being the coolest high schooler at the class photo shoot. Did you hear me to tell the teacher to be quiet? School is so lame. And Sessions, of course, is not the only Trump confidant in the hot seat over his contacts with Russians. There's also his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Kushner, of course, has repeatedly failed to disclose contacts with Russian officials, including a meeting with the Russian ambassador where he proposed setting up a secret back channel that could not be detected by U.S. intelligence agencies. Today, Kushner spoke to Senate investigators in a closed-door session, and afterwards, he gave a rare public statement where he defended his role in the administration.
Let me be very clear. I did not collude with Russia, nor do I know of anyone else in the campaign who did so. When my father-in-law decided to run for president, I served his campaign the best I could. I am so grateful for the opportunity to work on important matters such as Middle East peace and reinvigorating America's innovative spirit.
My father-in-law put me in charge of Middle East peace because I did such a good job not colluding with Russia. I even drew this picture of myself with my father-in-law where he pats me on the head for being a good job boy, for not talking to Russians. And he even said he'd put it on the fridge as soon as I solve Middle East peace. And then, of course, there's Trump's son, Don Jr., who met with a Russian lawyer after being promised dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of Russia's effort to help Trump win. On Sunday, Scaramucci defended fellow hair gel enthusiast Don Jr. But I'm not sure his defense was all that flattering to him.
It was a non-event meeting, and he's a political neophyte in June of 2016. Donald J. Trump Jr. loves his father. The kid took a nothing meeting.
The kid? He's 39. The only way a 39-year-old can be a kid is with a Zoltar machine. So the special counsel investigation is intensifying, and Trump's closest aides and family members are increasingly implicated in the scandal. I guess it's no surprise, then, that Trump is looking for ways to save his own skin.
The Washington Post reports Trump has asked his advisors about his power to pardon aides, family members, and himself.
We're 6 months into his presidency, and he's already talking about pardoning himself. At this rate, Trump is going to get impeached and resign in time to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. Apparently, what motivated Trump to inquire about his own pardon power was the realization that special counsel Robert Mueller could look into his personal finances. According to the Washington Post, he has told aides he was especially disturbed after learning Mueller would be able to access several years of his tax returns. How bad are these tax returns? At this point, we all assume he doesn't pay them, right? So it has to be worse than that. What is it? Does he pay $2 million a year to Melania for hand-holding? Does he try to write off Eric as a loss? Is his legal name Donna? With everything going on in D.C. right now, by far the most urgent, potentially catastrophic thing that could happen this week is a vote on the GOP healthcare bill. GOP leaders are once again trying to revive their bill, setting a vote for Tuesday without telling anyone what's in it. The secretive process is an appalling and shocking breach of basic democratic norms, and yet, today in the White House, Trump angrily attacked Democrats for saying, accurately, that the bill would cause needless deaths.
The Senate bill protects coverage for pre-existing conditions. And you don't hear this from the Democrats. They like to tell you just the opposite. And they didn't even know the bill. They run out, they say death, death, death.
You know what? He's right. No matter how you feel about a bill, you shouldn't say it's death. Got it.
Obamacare is death. That's the one that's death.
I'm not death, you're death. That was a good comeback, right, guys?
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Amber Ruffin.
And I'm Jenny Hagel. Thank you so much for listening to the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast.
But just one more thing. If you could, please subscribe and rate our podcast.
And review it.
And review it. And then call us and tell us you like us in person. Thank you so much.
Our guest is an accomplished director and an Emmy and Golden Globe nominated actor you know from The Wonder Years. He stars in the new series Friends from College, which is streaming on Netflix. Please welcome back to the show, Fred Savage, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure.
Congrats on this show.
Thank you.
Friends from College. So you, this is what it says it is in the title. It's about a group of friends who are now in their 40s hanging out.
Yes, it's about a group of six friends who all went to college together. And they're really clinging on to the past. That was kind of their glory years was college. And so the show is really about how this friendship has been great in some aspects, but it's really held them back from being real adults and advancing their life and careers and relationships. They're kind of stuck in college.
It's a fantastic cast. You're Billy Eichner. You're dating Billy Eichner.
Dating Billy Eichner. Yeah, Nat Faxon, Kobe Smulders, Jay Park, Annie Perez. It's like an amazing, amazing cast.
Now, this is amazing. Obviously, you know some tap skills Because that was actual tap dancing.
You could see that, couldn't you?
You could.
You could identify that that wasn't made up.
That wasn't CGI.
No,
that wasn't a body double.
No, no. And they asked me, they said, do you want us to CGI this? I'm like, guys, I got it.
Really?
Yeah. Put away the computers. It's on me. And I think you guys can all see that's 4 years of tap at Jane Perry Dance.
Wow. Now,
4 years of tap and jazz.
Tap and jazz.
Tap and jazz. Because you got to know how to move your whole body.
Right.
Yeah, not
that's
just
a lot of the mistake a lot of people make is they just focus on the feet.
That's a fool's errand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dumb.
That's dumb.
That's how you do it. Yeah. And so I was like, this is really cool because I did it when I was probably like 7 through like 11. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I had friends who were going to like, you know, hockey practice and soccer practice and football. I'm like, good luck with sports, dummies. Yeah. I got tap and jazz waiting for me with Jane Perry.
Yeah, Jane Perry was your instructor.
Yeah.
The great Jane Perry.
You know her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you see the work. I mean, it holds up.
You sent this photo, which is very kind of you, because a lot of people would not be cool having this out there.
This is the most embarrassing, and I trust you with this.
Yeah.
And only you.
Only me. Yeah. And yet, here I am going to show it to everybody.
It's okay.
Look at you. Tap. Look at you. Also, I want to point out...
The thing that breaks my heart is I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm so in... Like, I belong there.
Yeah. Also, there's, like, that kid's wearing a White Sox hat, and that kid's wearing a Cubs hat, and you're wearing, like, I guess, like, some sort of, like, naval ship hat.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to... You know, we were in Chicago, so I didn't want to... You know, that divides the city. You know,
yeah, you wanted to be a man for all.
We all get behind the Navy, you know? Those guys were divisive. The audience hated that.
They were, yeah.
And jumped.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all that's the why they put them in the back, and you got to be up front. Look at how happy you are.
It really makes me so happy and sad because there's
because I gotta
no
be honest,
irony.
That,
there's no irony.
This gentleman here is conflicted.
He doesn't, yeah.
If we can get a little closer to see the face, that guy's not sure.
His mom makes him go.
Yeah.
But he's this like, guy is like, Mom, is it Wednesday yet? You know? So, I want to go.
So you're a fun guy. You obviously, Larry, you are having fun with a bunch of people. Yeah. But you got busted on by your cast from Friends of College. A lot of them said in the press that everybody after shooting would hang out except for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
you
true.
Obviously like these people.
I love these people, and they're incredible people, and they're very talented. I just feel like from a very young age, I really like separated work and my personal life.
Yeah.
I think especially growing up, you know, in front of the camera, like that was a healthy... You know, balance. You know,
right.
You have work and then you have your social life and you don't really intermingle the two. Now, granted, I probably should reevaluate that since I was 11.
You
know, like a new policy. But it's really like, it's good. Like, so when I work, like I'm there, I'm worked, I'm totally focused and I'm super gung-ho and I'm really excited to be there. And then when we are done, like I'm excited about like the other parts of my life. And that was news.
That was news.
That was news.
They said it sort of jokingly, but then everybody wrote headlines that... And then was like, what did your wife say when she read the headline?
Well, when it first came out, it's like, oh, Fred Savage doesn't hang out with his cast. Which is like, you know, when you're on location, like when you shoot on location, like for adults, that's like camp. Like they go, they're out all night, they're having a great time. And so I left, you know, my wife and family are in LA and I'm here in New York. And so for the headline, the scoop, to be like Fred Savage didn't do anything, it was great for like my home life. Like my marriage, that was great.
Yeah.
You know? And so when the first article came out, my wife's like, oh honey, it just shows you're a professional. And like, oh my gosh, my wife voice came out, was my mom voice.
Yeah. I was like, and you're
that was my mind. When I my mom's like, this, it's great. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I gotta work on a new job. So Jennifer's very supportive. She goes, it's great, you look like a professional, you're focused at work, that's fantastic. But then like the more people talked about it came out and she's like, yeah, you look like a dick. Like that's not.
So what was
she's like, you should hang out. Like, just go once in a while.
What were you choosing instead of hanging out with your castmates?
Peak TV, Seth. Peak TV.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were in New York in the city shooting, like, in the fall when all the new TV comes out.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a DVR in my hotel, so that's appointment television. I got to be there or I'm going to miss it.
So you actually had to...
So when you're in New York with a free night, that's This Is Us time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know... Well, I didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah, well, I remember when we were kids, we would always take a trip down to New York to watch Cheers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the greatest city in the world to watch television.
To watch television. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, they got those great videos on. Sometimes I just leave the video on from the hotel.
Yeah.
That tells you all the amenities.
Oh, right, the Marriott. It's like...
It's very relaxing.
It is very relaxing, and it's only about 2 minutes long, so after about an hour, you know it.
Just, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I know where the gym is.
Yeah.
You know? Not that I'm going to go, but if I need to.
Yeah, I know where the bistro is and where the fine dining is.
And I know up until what time you serve breakfast.
Yeah.
Guess who's not going to call at 11 wanting an omelet?
God, man.
Me.
That's great.
Because I watched the video.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, man, I would say right now, next time you're in New York, I would love to party with you, but I just know that you won't hang out with me.
Well, can come. We can watch together.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we can watch TV together.
All right, well, next season, This Is Us. Well, I can't wait to be over at your hotel.
I mean, you're going to have... You can't talk, though, during it.
Okay, fine.
So you're going to... I don't want to... Get up to speed now, because I don't want to be like, they were... It's in the past. It's in
okay,
the past.
Gotcha.
Those are the same people today.
I'm a decent human. I'm not going to make you explain the show while we're watching it.
I've never watched TV with you. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched Game of Thrones with some friends last week, and my friend, she really loves the show. She's super into it, and watched every episode, and I love it and watch it and know it too, and I watch it with her just to ask questions. She was so mad at me. It was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It was my favorite thing. Oh, wait, it's really fun to ruin someone's Sunday, guys. Try it. Who's that?
All your friends, college castmates, are hearing you say this, and they're like, I'm glad that dude didn't hang out. That guy's a bad team.
Look. I'm not gonna lie, I've done them a favor. They just don't know it.
But I'm always glad when you're here. Thank you so much for being back.
It's
Give it up for Fred Savage, everybody. Friends in college, speaking on Netflix.
Hey, everybody, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Fred Savage.
Hello, Henry.
Star of Friends from College. I wanted to ask you, so we are backstage at Late Night.
Yes.
We are right next door to Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. where Seth obviously worked. You hosted when you were 13 years old.
I did. I hosted when I was 13. 13 years old. And I loved it. It was amazing. I mean, even then, even though I was younger, like, I still appreciated what that experience was. You know, like, I grew up with my dad was showing me. My mom would always get mad at him because he would show me, like, you know, keep me up late and watch Saturday Night Live. So I grew up watching Fernando's Hideaway and, James Brown's Hot Tub. And I mean, that's the stuff I watched that stuff growing up. So I really was excited about being there.
Yeah. And what was it like in terms of how the cast and producers interacted with you? Because they were used to working with people that were 10, 20, or 30 years older.
I mean, for me, I didn't have the perspective.
Yeah,
I didn't know how they normally did it. But for me, like, I was in the meetings and I would go from room to room and the writing teams would pitch me their sketches, and we would read kind of, you know, early drafts of scripts before we got to the table read, and we all sat in Lauren's office that first day and pitched ideas, and I mean, I did mostly a lot of listening. I wasn't really, like, pitching a lot of ideas, but they brought me right in.
Fantastic. I also wanted to ask about, you know, this show is obviously about people looking back on their college years. What were your college years like? Because you had a professional career before you went to college.
Yes. I mean, all that for me, like anything I had done before I got to college all kind of faded away. You know, uh-huh. I found at least, you know, my college experience, once I got there, everyone was extraordinary in some way. You know, the guy next door to me spent the summer, like, you know, observing, like, the tuberculosis gene or virus because he wanted to splice it and cure it. And the guy, you know, on the other side of the hall from me was the world champion of wiffle ball. And, you know, Tiger Woods was in my freshman class and Chelsea Clinton wasn't far behind. So, like, all of that stuff that you did before you got to school all kind of, like, faded away.
Sure.
Which was a bummer because that was, like, my big ace in the hole.
Yeah,
no one seemed to care at all.
Right. All right, last question I have for you. I know you're from Chicago. You're a big Cubs fan. You were telling me earlier you were watching the Cubs game, not like during the filming process, like while you were actually shooting some of the show.
Yeah, like under the table, like streaming, you know, on your phone, watching the World Series. It was not my proudest moment as a professional.
Sorry to bust you on that.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I think my performance was enough.
Couldn't tell.
You really can't tell. It's a seamless performance.
Seamless.
And I defy you to identify the takes where I was watching the World Series. But we were all, like, you know, kind of had little phones stashed around, or the grips would be nice enough and kind of rig, you know, C-stands with our phones and, like, a power cord going to it so we could watch it just off camera. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of Chicago people on the crew and cast, and so It was a great thing to kind of share with a big group of people.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. You know, Elizabeth Moss was on the show not too long ago, and she was talking about how she was getting World Series updates during The Handmaid's Tale, during filming of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's irresponsible. Like, we're doing, like, a silly comedy, you know, where, like, I'm literally, like, you know, in the clip you showed on the show, like, I'm literally, like, dancing around.
That's
like,
right.
That's what we do on the show.
That's right.
And The Handmaid's Tale is a serious drama that I'm obsessed with, and I cannot abide watching it and knowing that they're watching the Cubs. I mean, I respect it.
Of course.
As a fan, but as a professional, it's an abomination. And they should really get it buttoned up over there at Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Elizabeth Moss will have to defend herself next time.
I don't know. I mean, she's so good.
She is so good.
Like, I mean, amazing. Like, I watched that show. She's like, it's like transformative. So good. And I just, like, how much better could she have been, you know, if she was focused
she was
on
not
the
watching.
Job? Yeah, I mean, I think there, you know, there's a lot left
in her
in the
defense.
Tank.
I think it was like between takes.
She doesn't need, she's a big girl. Fair. She doesn't need you to defend her.
That's
okay,
true.
She stands by it. And now I'm excited about season two. And I, you know, I'm hoping they'll. I guess I have to root against the Cubs. You know,
yeah.
I really want that show to be
for
all
how
it
much
can,
you love the show.
Yeah, like I want it to be all it can be. And I want Elizabeth Moss to have all her faculties. You know, I want her to have all, you know, all the tools in her arsenal. I want her to have them. So I'm gonna just, I guess, root against the Cubs because that's how much I love Handmaid's Tale and Elizabeth Moss as an actress.
I like that we've talked more about Handmaid's Tale in this interview.
I did a show also. Is Handmaid's Tale? Oh, that's not on Netflix.
It's
all right. Well, anyway, we're
it's
all
on another streaming service.
All the streamers, we're all in it together. You know, we're all in it against terrestrial television.
Right, which you were on tonight promoting.
Yeah, but that's how we get you. You know, like we're using you to promote us, and soon, you know, the bots will take over.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, until then.
Ha ha!
So
see again. You never.
Until never.
Until never.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
This was so much fun.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.